Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Full Coverage, a podcast by beauty lovers for beauty lovers. We are your hosts. I'm professional makeup artist Harriet Hadfield, and we have the unprofessional beauty junkie Lindsay Kelk. Happy Christmas!
Happy Christmas!
Oh, happy God, holidays! Happy holidays! It's not too early.
No, it's definitely we're late. Not now. Yeah, it's practically like next Christmas already.
By my standards.
All year I'm just waiting for you to talk about Elf. That's my whole year.
I've already watched it.
Of course you have. Of course you have. That's all I'm waiting for, is for when you've started watching Elf. That means it's
officially
Christmas. I
even watched a film about Elf being filmed.
Oh, wow. Have you watched
my dedication.
Isn't there like a Buddy the Elf sequel thing, an animated sequel as well, I think,
I don't know how I feel about that.
You don't stand by that.
If it's not Will Ferrell, I'm not really interested.
Fair enough. I don't know if he's the voice. He might be. I don't know. I went to see it on Broadway. I think we talked about this last year.
Ooh.
And it was like not good. but I went.
Rude not to. I'd go and see The Snowman, and I know it would never be the same.
Yeah. Oh, I love The Snowman. I'm thinking about putting it on Christmas. I don't think Jeff's ever seen it.
Oh, that's a classic Christmas day. I like a snowman on Christmas day.
I like a snowman.
It sounds like a cocktail.
Well, I mean, I also in that case would enjoy a snowman of all days. But yes, Yay!
It's Christmas time. Love it.
Christmas.
Favorite time of year, hands down. Dave always thinks I'm going to get bored of it, like by starting early, and I'm like, it's just impossible. I think that's what you want to happen, but it won't for me. What you're saying is I'm going to ruin it for you, but it doesn't for me. So sozzies.
No, I know Jeff. Jeff is usually more reticent to allow me to start as early as I'd like to, because normally we have to start day after Thanksgiving. This year I got away with starting a couple of weeks early. Because of it being the worst year ever of all time, I was allowed to start putting stuff up. But when I got all the stuff out, I realised how very many Christmas jumpers I've got
that I really
had to start early. Otherwise, I'm making a mockery of my own purchases. So, do you know what I mean? Like, I think the earlier the better. But I'm sure everyone listening to this is feeling very Christmassy now.
I hope you are. I hope you're feeling Christmassy.
I hope so. And you've got Pad the pod dog.
Is in the house.
Eyes.
Yeah, I knew he was going to do this. He just sat at me like scratching at my thing, being like, let me up. I can hear Lindsay. It's probably because he recognises your voice. He gets really excited. He's like, oh, a person that's not my owner's.
Ooh. I haven't seen you since March, Pad.
That's
you were the last pod dog I saw. The last any dog I saw that
he's
I knew.
He's grown a whole millimetre.
Aww.
I don't actually
Anderson
know if that's
is
true.
Here. Podcat is in the room, but he's
Podcat
asleep
in the
corner.
House. Yeah, I think Pad will be asleep. He loves it when Ronnie's out the house. He's like, Dave's gone for a drive, just to drive nowhere, but with the dog.
I mean, have I ever heard anything more 2020?
Like, hashtag 2020. Just gone for a drive. When he can't handle it anymore, he's like, I'm just going for a drive.
It feels like an angry housewife in the 1950s.
I think he puts like thrash metal on to like get out the Christmasness that I like consume him with.
It really is. I know we're not, you know, no one's pro smoking, but it's a real shame he doesn't smoke. That you just go and drive around having a cigarette.
100%.
And it really would add to the picture, wouldn't it?
It would
just be beautiful.
It really would.
We've got an exciting Christmassy episode. Not really. It's exciting. We're going to make it Christmassy. For our main feature today, we're having a non-Christmassy but really quite fabulous chat with Renee Rouleau, which is exciting. I fangirled on her a little bit, which I think made things a bit awkward, but mainly for her, not me. So that's all right. I got really excited because she's got pink hair and she lives in Austin. Ooh. And she rides a motorbike. Oh. And I think all those things are really cool.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, I don't know how much she liked being told that I thought those things were cool, but I do. So who doesn't like compliments? So I'm sure it was lovely. We had lovely chat. She answered a lot of questions about skincare, told us about her journey through skin and how she ended up where she is, which actually is really interesting. And I have been using some of her products and I'm like upsettingly in love with quite a lot of them. You know, when you get a whole new brand and you're like, I might like one or two things. And then you're like, oh God, it's all really good. So we'll talk about that another time. But first, before we get to that, I think it is important we just indulge in some Christmas joy, roll around in it, slather ourselves in it, rub it all over our bodies, and talk about what we would like to see under our Christmas tree this year.
Oh, I mean, being the nerd that I am, Lindsay, I feel like it's become... We know this is my jam, is nerdiness. So there's been cloth and paper purchases. I feel like what's been happening for me with makeup is I've just gone back to my depotting again. I feel like I don't want more makeup. I want more things to depot it into. That's my happy place. So if Dave could like get in touch with the artist kit company, that would be great. Just get me loads of things to depot.
Because I feel like all my Christmas presents this year are going to be on Jeff.
Yes,
I'm only seeing Jeff. We're not going anywhere. It is a lot of pressure. And I don't feel bad about telling him that because he had to deal with my 40th birthday. And let's all remember, he bought me a record player, which I'm sure there are lots of people at home going like, "Oh, that's a nice present," and it is. But also, he bought me a record player.
If it makes you feel better, I had a friend whose boyfriend worked at Cash Converters, and every year he would buy her an electrical goods that was either a toaster or a coffee. Like, it was legit something that was an electrical goods. Want, and I was it? Like, oh, this is problematic because she doesn't want those are lovely things, but she does not want those things.
No, there comes a time when you have to explain. And the thing is, like, I know a lot of people do that for gifts, like Jeff's brother and his wife. They tend to only give each other practical gifts, and that's their jam, and they're totally into it.
Yeah,
and that's awesome.
But if it's your jam,
my gifting thing is you should give someone something that they want. That's probably what a bit they of need. A treat. Yeah, that not exactly what they want, and not necessarily what they need, and something they probably wouldn't buy themselves. So if it's something that like was required by the household,
yeah,
like it's not the time. It's not the time.
Yeah,
and we politely have had that conversation pre Christmas.
That's nice. So,
I'm excited, but I don't think I asked him for any makeup or beauty stuff because I don't trust him. So these might have to be some self-gifts.
I'll have a word.
But, yeah, you could.
I'll be your fairy godmother. Your fairy godmother.
I mean, they're very simple. I mean, I feel like a solid option always for anyone ever is candles.
I was literally going to say, I still get excited by a candle because... let's face it, makeup is one of those things that so many of us have so much of, and I'm definitely trying to like really focus on shopping my stash at the minute and use things up. But candles, I am guaranteed to use it up. Like, I literally go through a candle a month, if not sooner, because I always burn them because they're such a big part of my self-care routine. They create a nice atmosphere when I'm working. So I really rely on candles. And for me, it's such, like you said, you always feel so guilty buying yourself like an expensive one. Whereas when it's, and I'm not saying it has to be an expensive one when it's a gift, but if it's a nice one, that's always pretty special. I'll never get tired of candles.
What candles are on the top of your candle wish list at the moment?
I do love Burning Rose by Byredo. I've had it like 3 times and I'm still not bored of it. Like, there are some scents that I just, again, they invoke that feeling of warmth. And I know that one especially just makes me feel cozy. Plus, they always have it on in Glossier. And I always used to walk in and be like, is it a Glossier smell they've made for the store? Yeah. Which obviously you can buy Glossier U. But I'm quite also into that. I think it's called Treehouse. They do like a room spray and a diffuser thing, which my friend had the other day in his bog, which was nice.
Nice. Lovely.
And I thought, oh, I think I want one of those. Yeah.
I do like a diffuser. I hadn't thought about that. A diffuser is a good option as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a diptyque.
Can't go wrong with a diptyque. I always look at the calendar every year, but it always sells out.
Oh my God. I came so close to buying it this year that I was like, you know what?
This
it's
is the
been
year.
A hard year. You've worked really hard. You had to be 40 on your own in a room. So it's like, and it's Christmas. You're having it, and I just couldn't do it. Like, I just couldn't spend the money.
Yeah,
it's
I was
so
same.
Much money. And then I was like, there's probably going to be candles that I'm not super into, and would it be better just to buy a couple of the candles that I love and treat myself that way? And then I didn't do that either because
the other one I would say actually that I think is a much more affordable version, but still feels really like is Boy Smells. Boy Smells is definitely an incredible one. I think their full size candle is like $35, which I know is still a lot of money, but if you compare it to like a $100 Byredo one,
it's like half the price of the diptyque.
It's a lot more affordable, and I think the Kush smell. I mean, there's all different ones. ones, and they are just all gorgeous. And they have, because I think the thing is, when you have a quality candle, you really do notice the smell. It kicks out through your whole house. It is, you know, it really, like, that smell really does create an environment.
The throw of the scent. Very into candles when I considered setting up a candle Instagram earlier in the year.
Those days.
Remember that? Yeah. I started an account and then just couldn't be bothered to do
it. Like me with my planner account, it lasted all of two months.
Oh my God. I went to all the hassle of creating the icon and did all of it and set up the account, and then I just couldn't be bothered to do it. It was too much work. But I do love me a candle. So yes, the throw of the scent is very important. Yeah, and the burning,
lots of candle.
How you've got to get it to burn clean. And you've got to get it to burn even.
Do you have tips for this? Because is it just trimming the wick regularly?
It's trimming the wick is like so important, lol. And burning it on an even surface, like making sure it is on an even surface. Because if it tilts either way, like the wax will pour. As it melts, the wax will tilt. And then it won't burn straight. I know.
She's in her element.
You can turn into a euphemism. But yeah, I get dead excited about my candles. But yeah, I do.
They just make you feel good.
Smells. Yeah, they've got some nice Christmas gift sets as well. Space NK had a 3-candle set that had a bit of a saving on it if you wanted to try it out for the first time.
They make great brush holders as well when you finish with them. I always think I've repurposed. I think I have literally 3 in front of me that hold all my brushes. So they always get repurposed for something, which is nice.
I use the tiny baby Diptyque candles. Like, there's a set of 6 that is out for Christmas, and they I use those tiny baby ones to put beauty blenders in. It's adorable.
Q-tips are nice in there as well. I feel like there's so many options.
Look at that. We've just made cost per use on a very expensive candle basically free.
Yeah, we've if you haven't incentivized it.
Yeah, you've got to do it. We've enabled that. Are there any techie gifts or anything you're after that you've been thinking about? Because I've been like, same as you, I'm like not massively. There's a couple of makeup bits I wouldn't mind receiving because I don't really want to pay for them myself. But then I end up starting looking at like, ooh, techs and gadgets and shenanigans.
Yeah, and normally I would say yes. I think my problem is, like, I feel like I've been buying more, like, set. Like, I've got really into secondhand shopping again, like the real I'm kind of obsessed with, which is dangerous because you think, oh, I'm doing so much good because it's secondhand, and then you keep buying more stuff, # Marie Kondo and # get rid of it all. That's another episode. But I think I did treat myself to a second. Who needs 2 label makers in their life?
You do.
I do. So I upgraded. I always get questions about, I love that, like, if you were to look at my frequently asked questions, I would have to include what label maker do you use. It's one of my most frequently asked questions.
It is the first thing I think of when I think of you.
And I decided to up my game. I was like, oh, I want white cartridges that have white font and I can change my font. So I brought a brother, and that to me felt techie. I feel like,
I think that counts.
Yeah.
That counts.
So I mean, that's cheating because I've already brought it myself, but that was something I got very excited about being delivered.
Self-gifting is very allowed this year. Oh. When I talked to Alice Hart Davis, she gave me a massive beauty boner for light therapies. And I know I can't have it. Like, I know I can't have it, but she talked about this it's called the Dermalux Flex. And it's like an at-home light therapy device, but it's spa quality level. And she had used it. You use it for 20 minutes a day, and because of lockdown she was using it every day, and she went and like had her skin analyzed before and she had it analyzed after, and it had like taken 9 years off her skin.
What?
9 years off her skin.
Okay, I have
like
one, and
I'm
gonna start using it again.
This is it. I'm like, well, this one's like a super fancy one, and
mine wasn't 2 grand.
This is it. It's 2 grand, so it's like, obviously I'm not gonna spend 2 grand on this. But then I like fully have sat there and been like, well, you haven't had any facials or treatments or anything, and like, if it's that good and you'll use it every day and you just lay there while you're using it, maybe you would. And I was like, I cannot do it. But I have been like very intrigued in stuff like that, like light therapies. I know there's the Dr. Dennis Gross mask as well, that's a lot cheaper. Obviously, I don't know because I haven't compared the two, but less immediately impactful than the Dermalux Flex. Dermalux Flex. I just like saying Dermalux Flex as well. It looks like something out of Superman.
Mine's pretty freaky. It's pretty like, Dave was like, what the beep? He was like, hell no, not in the bedroom. It's just like, nope. And I was
I'm a spiteful pig, and I would be like, I will only wear it in the bedroom.
So. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, look at the lols at this. You can't see my face, and it's got a red light under it.
I've been using my new face a lot since I talked to Tara, and Jeff hates it. He hates it so much because it beeps like every 5 seconds to tell you you've like completed your pass. And he Love hates it. So much, and he won't say anything. But like we'll be sat watching a film and then I'll be like, and I can just see every time it beeps he like flinches a little bit, but he says nothing, and I'm like, it is my face, this is for my face. But I do enjoy it. I remember when we talked to April from Vintner's Daughter and she was talking about it, and I like every time I see her on social media I'm like, oh, she looks so good.
I know. Well, and I love that she had hers like 5 years, which I thought was a really good, and yeah. I could not respond. It was a really good advert for it because she was like, oh my God, mine's like 5 years old, but it's still amazing. And I was
same. I went back. I looked in my orders as to, because like emails are forever. I looked at when I bought it, and I bought mine 8 years ago, and it's still like as new. Like it's still perfect.
I think if you're like a proper skin enthusiast, that is like a great present. If you know someone who's like 100% just about skin, and they are like
if you're gonna use it, like that's exactly the thing, is it like don't buy it and then not use it. I remember I did all this at the time, like I bought the Clarisonic and then I just never used it, and I ended up giving it to a friend who like loved it and hers broke, so I was like, just like I'm not ever gonna use it, and I know it. But I am trying to get back into the habit of using it because it is only 5 minutes a day, and at the minute like I've for sure got 5 minutes once sat on my bum. And I just use it with aloe vera. Like I don't rebuy the serum. I just use aloe vera gel and it's great. But yeah, techie stuff I think is good. It's a good investment gift I would like to receive. I think bath stuff I would be happy to receive.
Pamper time.
Doing a lot of bath. Anything self-carey, like candles, bath stuff. I've been leaning into being a big child and doing like a lot of bath bombs.
Like, I feel like that's the 80s child in us as well, like the sort of wanting to throw out a bit. Bath pearls, I'd love a bath pearl. We've had this conversation before, haven't we? And you used to get like pick a mix bath pearls and boots. You'd be able to choose so like dolphin ones and then star ones.
It made you feel dead fancy. I'd even go for a bottle of matey. I won't lie, I could totally go for a bottle of matey.
My grandma used to collect those. She used to have all of them. Like as kids we'd love seeing them all.
My brother always got the blue one and I always got the pink one, and the blue one smelt better, so I would always get dead angry about it because I'm like, do not enforce gender norms on us, Janice. I didn't say that, but like, I should have. But yeah, like very into bath stuff at the moment, and like, I'm trying to think what else.
I think I know what is a good gift, which I think some people may be like, no, Harry, but I still think when I receive it, it makes me feel dead bougie. And I'm not going to lie, I still fill it up with cheap shit afterwards, is when you get an Aesop soap.
That's the next thing on my list. I'm going to show you my list. It is like, you can't see it's on my phone, but it's the next thing on my list.
Literally, like you can't, I think the thing is like, I feel like Aesop soap is like the Hermes bag of hand soaps. Yeah. And it's like, if you have it, you just look like you've got your shit together. It's like the biggest illusion. Like, just get it a friend who's struggling and be like, it's all right. Put your Aesop hand soap in front, in full view, and no one will ever know.
It's like, you don't even need to meditate or journal. You just need anything. Aesop just hand soap. Once a day, go in and stare at that soap and be like, I fucking made it.
I have literally, when I see my Aesop soap, I'm like, I'm a big deal with my Aesop.
I haven't got the soap at the moment, but I have still got the hand cream. And I remember one of my friends came around to drop something off. She did a doorstep drop and then she was like, I've got to have a wee. And I was like, you can have a friendly wee. That's allowed. I'll go in the other room. Yeah, she was like, I didn't think I'd need to go and I've got to go. And I'm like, it's fine. I'll go and stand in the other room. And she went for a wee and she came out and she's like, oh, I can't believe you got Aesop hand lotion. And I was like, well, I didn't buy it for myself, but thank you. Like,
but then the best thing is,
felt better about herself.
I think the funniest thing is, now I remember pre-COVID, like some friends had come around for dinner and our friend had like obviously gone to the loo to use it, and I'd got the cheap shit in there. I'd got some 99p lavender stuff from Traders or whatever. And he came out and he went, oh, I do love Aesop. It's worth it, isn't it? And I was like, joke's on you.
Oh my God, it's so worth it. I've got
that bottle's like 2 years old now and it's still
I was totally doing that. I was 100%
no shame here.
And the bottle gummed up to the point where I just couldn't keep washing it out. I was like, it's gotta go, we've gotta let it go. But I've still got the lotion. I've been using a method hand soap.
Nice.
That's like it's coconut water, I think it's called, but it is like the nicest smell. I'm fully aware you probably can't give people method hand soap for Christmas unless you make it like a pack or like a
goodie fair, bag I wouldn't of mind stuff. That. I feel like I like upset. Stuff. I'm down.
Yeah, I mean, like, you make a goodie pack of like different soaps or candles and stuff, maybe include it in that. I guess if I just got one bottle of that from Jeff, I'd I might get upset. But it like is, it's like when I had that sheer moisture soap bar in the middle of the year when I was obsessed with the smell of that sheer moisture soap bar. I'm obsessed with the smell of this hand soap. It smells so good. It makes me want to wash my hands 1,000 times. So I do love that.
I think it's funny actually, because I'm thinking now about the things that like I haven't brought myself, but I actually use all the time. And it is candles. It is my, when it was Aesop hand soap. And then also I have a Byredo rose hand cream by my bed. Nice. And it is so thick and luxurious. And again, I can't, you know, like we've always said, like the experience part of beauty, especially when you're gifting, I think is much different than thinking about being more sustainable and things like that. And there definitely are brands that are incorporating that into gifting this year, which is great. But I know for me, there's certain brands that I just love their story. I love the kind of, you know, the experience of it. And I know when I get like a Byredo candle, like you can always smell it outside the box. And you're like, oh my God, it smells so good. It's going to be something that smells really good. And the hand creams, especially, like I've had the heating on a lot recently. Don't judge me, mom. I know it's like 20 degrees. Like, you've gone soft.
But it's bone cold. Shame
on you.
It's bone
freezing.
Cold. There's no humidity.
But my knuckles have started to dry a lot. And I feel like I put that on every night. And it just, again, it makes like the bedroom smell nice. And it's just, it feels good. It feels good. To feel good.
Yeah, it feels good to feel good. But that's the gifting thing as well. Like, there's brands I would never buy. Like, I'm not going to buy myself the La Mer lip balm. I'm not going to buy myself the La Mer hand cream.
You sure about that?
I'm not sure, because I have 100% bought myself that lip balm before, but like in duty free in days of old. Like, I couldn't do it now. It used to be $30 or it was £30. I can't remember. And I used to get it at duty free. And now I looked at it the other day because I was going to get it for somebody and it's like $60. And I'm like, you are having a laugh, friends. Yeah. But then I still bought it for my friend because I know she loves it. And then I was like, I hate myself. Be grateful. But again, like, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily buy it for myself, but I would totally buy it as a treat because it's like, same as you, I'm like pulling back on my spending. I'm very much shopping my stash. I'm looking at where I can cut back, where I don't need to spend $60. But for a gift, I would 100% do it, because there is something about opening a present and seeing La Mer, and you would be like, oh, like it would make me all giggly in a way that it would not make me giggly to spend that money myself. So I think they are, just hit my microphone because I'm professional. But that's like, hand creams I think are really nice. We've actually got an indie brand hand cream at the moment that I'm obsessed with. Jeff's assistant bought it for him. He's just not got like an assistant, it is his work. Like, I feel like I need to put that out. It's not just like someone that does things for us, it is his actual work.
Does he get him orange juice without pulping?
It's a lady and she would not. Which is why I enjoy her, because she tolerates
none sod of off Jeff
nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her. She is from Montana and she went up to Montana in summer and she brought this amazing Montana hand cream. And I think it's called Montana Mud. I'll put it in the notes because I'm obsessed with it. It's like a lavender, but it's very, very light scent and it's so pretty. And I love putting it on at bedtime. It makes me feel very bedtimey. And we love an indie brand.
We love an indie brand. I'd add to that, actually. I have a really nice indie brand that I've ordered from. So they haven't arrived yet, but I've had a play with them before. And I was like, this was kind of my present to myself. My rule was like, if I'm treating myself, it's going to be like an indie brand. So I brought the Noto Botanics. I brought their, I can't remember what it's called now. It's like, you know how like there was that moment where like Benetint from Benefit was like the big deal, like way back when. This is almost like a stain rouge. And I was like, oh, I'm just obsessed with, I'll always return to multi-purpose products. Like I use them up, I hit pan on them. So I got her little kind of like, she has different tones as well, which I really like. So there's different like versions of like the rouge. And I went for like a burnt orangey, like red. And then I went for her little highlight stick. And you can either get them in a glass pot or you can get them in like a little lip balmy type applicator. Ooh. So you can like use a little bit and then you can have like your pot at home, doing a little hand dance. And I'm excited about those to arrive. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about those. I brought myself.
They sound very nice. I do, every so often I will invest in a bottle of Benetint because I remember how much I loved it. I always loved it on the lips.
I still love it. I feel like I actually don't think I own one anymore.
I haven't got one at the moment.
But you're making me want to like, I'm really desperate to like rediscover like all my like teenage and 20s, like the age of my 20s, like beauty heroes.
Yeah. That's what them are still about. And Benefit is, there's so many Urban Decays. We talked about this a lot. Been talking about this a lot in the Facebook group and on our Instagram this week.
We do.
But after, talking about Urban Decay with Wendy and like all the products gone by, Urban Decay does discontinue stuff and stuff does go away, but Benefit does tend to keep stuff around. actually, that's a good option because that came back this year. Maybe Baby came back this year. And I 100% bought myself a bottle of Maybe Baby as the, just the dingy
Charlie Red.
Oh, God, I've still got a Charlie Red body spray. But I did buy a bottle of Maybe Baby for nostalgia purposes in the middle of summer. And it made me really happy. It made me really happy.
That's the beauty of it as well when you get a memory. Because I think for me, especially like, and come back to the candles thing. And I think scent is definitely like, if you're buying someone a natural perfume, that's definitely a harder one because you've kind of got to have an idea if they already like it or if it's in the kind of family of tones they like. But certain things do just evoke memory. And I think that's really nice if something is tied to someone's wedding day or an anniversary or something like that. Yeah. That's always a nice one.
Just lovely. And then I think my last one that I'm going to go for is nail polishes. Because I got into nails at the beginning of lockdown and then I got really lazy. And now I've just got back into nails and they're all glittery. Look, I'm showing
you always have good nails.
I did glitter nails. I was so proud. It's the first time I've managed to do glitter gel nails myself.
That's amazing.
And I was dead proud. So, like, I would definitely be happy. And I did put that on my list for Jeff. Mm-hmm. And I bet it's one thing that he does not choose to tangle with. but I put CND shellac polishes because for my money, having tried basically every brand of gel polish this year, shellac is the best. For me, I find it lasts longest, seals best.
I know, it's funny, isn't it? Because they're not made equally. Like, I feel like as well, there are some brands of nail polish. Like, for example, I love Essie Colours. I love their Gel Couture, which actually isn't a gel polish, but it's such a good long-lasting polish. And I love their regular polish. However, I'm really sorry, Essie, but your gels are pants. They are so watery.
Agreed.
And someone said to me that, like, I think as well, because certain companies, like, if it's not their speciality, if gel isn't what they do, like, is a speciality, the same level of, like, technology and money isn't put into them.
That makes sense.
Really avoid, like, and it's funny because I use Essie nail polishes, like, all the time. Like, the one called Gel Couture, I love that top coat. And I would say, like, 50% of the shades I have are in
can name, like, a ton of Essie shades off the top
They're
of my head.
They're so good.
I love Essie so much. Like, Tarte Deco.
Gel polish,
like,
no.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's so watery.
It's just too many layers and too many coats. And then when you end up with that many coats, it just peels off.
Because I got excited that they do the same colours in the gels as they do their regular, but they are very, very different.
Yeah. No, shellac is the way to go for me. And then I do the OPI ones I quite like. They're the other way. OPR is really, really thick. So you can quite often get away with one coat of the gel. But that is so expensive. OPI is, like, way more expensive than shellac. I don't know why. Yeah, it's like $5 more a bottle. And then I'm like, I am only doing it on me. I'm not buying it for a salon. So that's a lot of money. I do like the Orly gel colours. They're harder to get hold of.
Yeah,
generally speaking. But I mean, it's gel, so we're getting everything online at the moment, so I guess they're not that much more.
I know, it's funny actually, because I think in the same token of, like, self-care, like, for me, nails became a really enjoyable thing through lockdown. Like, I definitely started doing, but I think I've gone the opposite way. I always used to do gels, and I've actually enjoyed, like, changing them up every, like, 2-3 days. Matilda on Video has an amazing video about doing nails to make them last without gel, so I really recommend you go watch that. And one thing actually I did see, thinking about it now, that I'm like, oh, a good stocking stuffer that would be a very big stocking stuffer is always a lot of puns in there. Is I think Olive in June came out with, and I know this is going to sound really random, but they came out with, like, a foot stand. So when you're doing a pedicure, you can like position your foot, and I'm not being funny, but that is a genuine, like, problem solver. Like, we've all done that thing where your husband or your partner is, like, watching you and is like, you're right there, love, like, you're about to fall off the edge of the sofa, or, like, your dogs are licking your feet because you're trying to do one toe, and you're like, this is not I need, this is why I get this done in the salon. But I saw that and I was like, do you know what? I think I need that in my life. I think that's a really genius little hack.
They come up as a Facebook ad for me every day. And now it's going to come up in like 10 seconds because we've been talking about it. But they come up all the time. And I'm always like, oh, do I want that? Do I want that? And the answer is yes. But as of yet, I've, like, refrained because I've been all about my gels. But I am very pleased with my glittery gel nails. And Jeff,
you,
like,
did really well,
yourself,
Lindsay. They look,
like,
amazing.
Can't. It was dead easy. I thought it was going to be, like, much harder than it was, but I just did, like, the base coat and then one coat of a very light shellac, and then I cured both of those coats, and then I just did the thing where you get the little, like, eyeshadow. We finally found a use for eyeshadow applicators. And you just dip it into the glitter and just press it very lightly until you've got a full coat, then cure that, then do the top coat. And it's totally smooth. It's not bumpy. It's all in there. Made me very pleased with myself. It was the one thing that I achieved yesterday that I felt good about, and it was enough.
The thing with gels as well, it's funny because they just take so much longer. I think that's the thing. I know, yeah. I'm committing to, like, this had better last a week if I'm going to spend like an hour doing this. Like, I want at least a week out of this. And I feel like I still, maybe it would last longer now. I'm not doing as much makeup work, obviously, because of lockdown. But they definitely, I could never really make it last more than a week on me.
Oh, I can. It lasts longer when I'm not doing a lot of baths. Because I find that baths, because if you soak it, obviously, unless you've sealed it properly, which I usually haven't because I don't cut my cuticles. I can't be bothered. And I do try and go around the edges with a brush dipped in acetone to try and clean the edges up to make sure the edges seal nicely. But your edges are never going to be as well done probably as they would be professionally. Yeah. So when water gets in there, it's going to start peeling away. And this is the worst thing I will ever admit to. In terms of beauty on this podcast, is even if it doesn't last, the pleasure I get from peeling it off.
Oh, I'm the same. It's like blasphemy, but I'm sorry, but it is the best feeling bad. In the world.
And you just have to go like dead slow when it starts to peel. You can't make it peel, but if you get a little bit of a loose edge and you like dig your finger under it, your nail under it, and you're like, it's coming.
You're like, oh, yes.
And you just got to go slow and don't rip it, don't tear it. No. You don't damage your nail. It is damaging your nail anyway. But I'm like, if it's coming away, it's coming away. What choice do I have?
All the manicurists listening to us right now are like, oh, I know,
and
just
I know
died.
People are dead angry, but I'm like, but then I do like. I will put oil on afterwards and I will protect it and I will like leave it for a while.
After you've destroyed it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I don't rip it, so I try not to take any, you know, layers of nail off with it.
I'm guilty.
Just like gently encouraging it once it's already started peeling itself away. But yeah, oh man, it feels amazing.
Like, yeah, it's a good feeling.
So bad.
No, it's good. I'm so guilty of that.
That'll be my Christmas day. Sat watching Elf.
Stop peeling your nails.
Watching the snowman and then an Elf double bill peeling my nails in my new party dress that makes me look like a dolly whilst Yay. Eating Quality Street. It's going to be the greatest Christmas ever.
Happiness,
I've got no problem
right
with that.
No, yeah. That sounds like delightful.
Oh dear. How's the pod dog? I feel like we need to check in on the pod dog.
Oh, he's under a blanket, I think, somewhere.
Oh, good.
I can't see where he is, but I can see a blanket gently moving up and down as he's breathing. Which...
If
it's not Paddington, angry. I'm slightly worried.
Yeah, that's a concern. He left the house. Amazing. Is there anything else you'd like to find under your tree this year?
Oh, Lindsay, what wouldn't I like to find under my tree?
Good question.
But yeah, no, I think, like I said, my aim this year and going into 2021 is to focus more on using up what I have. And I'm really trying to find that sweet spot of kind of less but better, focusing on things that I know I love. And if there's not, and I think I'm trying to kind of move away from too much newness. I think that is something that we're all, you know, it's so easy to get sucked into that. We know we do a podcast, so we know there's like an element of, you know, sharing with you what we think is good and what's not. But I would love to draw my attention back to things that already exist that are great. Yes. You know, we talked earlier about kind of like, you know, the hero products. And I think as well, you know, in 2021, I'd like to discover more indie beauty brands. I'd like to support brands who are working more towards sustainability. And yeah, just try and get more creative with what I've got. That's kind of my goal.
Good call. Good call. Well, on that note, let us leave the Christmas tree. Let us wrap the presents.
The Quality Streets are recalling.
Oh my God, when are they not? So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with our chat with Renee Rouleau. And then we'll be back again because that's how this works. You've listened to this before. It's not your first time. So we'll see you in a minute.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
to start, I do want to say, Renee Rouleau, you are a woman after my own heart for many reasons. I've already just told you that I am super jealous of your life in Austin, Texas, because it's one of my favorite cities in the world. You're also a fellow pink hair person, which I want to get into. My pink hair has been a real casualty of 2020. It was once pink and now it is just sad. You're also a motorbiker, which is exciting. As I've already established, terribly professional research suggests you took part in Babes Ride Out.
Yes.
And I wrote about the first UK Babes Ride Out I went on for Glamour magazine. So
really?
I feel you are a kindred spirit. I can't ride a motorbike. I've tried. It didn't happen. It went badly. Yeah. But I liked riding on the back of someone else's motorbike. And I loved the female friendship. And it was just the best weekend of my life. And on top of that, you are a superstar esthetician, which is pretty much the most, like, makes you the best person. I think it might make you the best person. I don't know if you know that, but it does. I just said I wasn't going to list all your achievements and embarrass you, and then I did it. But hello, we're so excited to have you on Full Coverage. This is the most exciting chat. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Lindsay. I'm super happy to be here. It's an honor.
Oh, well, you say that. Wait till the end of the chat before you make that decision. So for our listeners who aren't super familiar with you and with the brand, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So I am an esthetician. I guess I could be called a celebrity esthetician, but I've been an esthetician for over 30 years. I started a skincare company when I was 26 years old, which was 24 years ago, called Renee Rouleau Skincare, where I started developing my own skincare line. And also at the time, I had a skincare spa in Dallas, because that's where I started my company. Eventually got had a second location. And now in the past 2 years, we've closed both of those and we're strictly an e-commerce company. So we're 100% e-commerce, direct to consumer. I'm not in any retail stores, and that's been a strategic decision. And my line is based on 9 different skin types. And so when I went to school to become an esthetician, you know, they taught us about skin types and it was just kind of dry, normal, and oily. And then when I started working, skincare lines were catered to dry, normal, and oily. But as a practicing esthetician, I was like, wait a minute, skin's a little more complicated than this. And people have a few more concerns than just those 3. And so I determined there were 9 different types of skin. And I have built my skincare collection based on that philosophy. And so people can go to reneerouleau.com and take a quick and easy skin type quiz, be put into one of the 9 skin types. And we have 50 products and they can get a curated routine at the end of taking the quiz. And so ultimately, they're going to get better results for their skin because it's going to target all of the needs. So kind of like perfect example is like, what if someone's like 32 and they still get breakouts, but yet they're getting wrinkles. And it's like, what do you do there? Well, guess what? We have a skin type for that. So, and also adult acne is different from teenage acne. Getting occasional breakouts is different than a lot of breakouts. So even if you do use an acne routine, well, it doesn't ever take into consideration your age, how often you get breakouts, things like that. So it's pretty unique. And once people kind of find us, they're really excited and they stay with us for a long time because we've kind of cover all their needs.
I took the quiz.
Full coverage.
Yeah. I see what you did there. Pretty good. I took the quiz and it did quite correctly identify me as tired. The first word that came up was like, you're tired. And I'm like, I'm so tired. So thank you. But yeah, I found it really reassuring. I found the quiz reassuring. I think a lot of people have tried to copy what you've done with that kind of thing and it just spits out very generic answers, and sometimes you go back and do it and you just get the same answer even though you answer different questions. Yours does not do that, so thanks. And it did. As I said, just very correctly say you're 40 but you've still got breakouts and everything is dehydrated and sad, and I'm like, yes, that's not, I'm paraphrasing, but yes. Basically number 7 with a bullet, that's it, was quite correct. So where did your interest in skincare come from?
So my grandmother was a hairstylist, and she used to own her own hair salon called the Powder Puff Beauty Shop. And so as a child, I was introduced to the beauty industry through her. She actually did do like a facial. So when she was shampooing people's hair, she would, in the shampoo sink, she would do this Queen Helene mint julep facial mask on them. And so she was kind of, you know, she was a cosmetologist. And when you're a cosmetologist, you kind of touch on all things. But yeah, so I saw, you know, I was exposed to, a single mother who owned her own business and, but still was helping people look good and feel good. And that had a big impression on me. And, so when it came time to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, I knew that college wasn't my path. And I just had always, really loved all things beauty, and it felt perfect for me. And that was over 30 years ago.
And what was it about Dallas that drew you in?
So I moved every 2 to 3 years growing up. My dad was in retail. We moved a lot. And so change has been a big part of my life because I was forced to change my world all the time. And so at the time I was living in Boston, Massachusetts. I actually had a skincare salon with a business partner that I started when I was 21. She was my mentor. We were co-workers and then left the salon and opened up our own place. So I've actually, my first business, yeah, I had from ages 21 to 26. And we had a very successful skincare salon. We did start developing products together. But I was really itching for change in my personal life. And because I had moved so much, you know, staying somewhere for a few years is like, okay, I'm ready for a new, you know, change of scenery. And I was really into country music and wanted to just try something different. So I moved to Dallas all by myself. So I sold my half of the partnership, which was really hard because we were super successful and we got along so well and, you know, everything was going right. But personally, I just wanted a change of scenery. And so I sold my half of the company. Her and I are still super good friends. Use that money to start Renee Rouleau in Dallas. And yeah, I didn't know anyone. I just Dallas just felt like, you know, country music and wide open spaces and friendly people and, you know, Southern hospitality. Those were all things that I thought sounded really fun. And I was there for 19 years. So that was a long time for me to be in one place, but I had a company. And so that kind of anchored me. And then 5 years ago decided that I could actually live somewhere else. And Austin really was speaking to me. So I completely relocated my company. And so now we have 11,000 square feet of office and warehouse space here in Austin. And we have a team of 19. And earlier this year, we got a recognition as the best company to work for in Austin. So that was super exciting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And that's a huge deal because Austin has a lot of industry. It's like a really thriving city. That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. I was super proud.
Yeah, I sound like your mother. I'm like, you should be. that's amazing news. It sounds to me like you are someone who very much trusts your gut and that you really follow your instincts, which I think is such a key skill and something that can be very hard for anyone. But I think particularly women, when we have a lot of messages coming at us. Do you have any advice on how our listeners know when to jump and when to stick?
Yeah. So, well, one of my favorite quotes just kind of like, you know, for life in general, is when there's doubt, there's no doubt. And I love that quote just in anything in life, you know, when you're doubting something and something doesn't feel right, you know, when there's doubt, there's no doubt. So that's one of my favorite quotes. We do personality profiling in my company. And I think that in what the guy who runs it for us, he said, my personality profile is one of the profiles that is really, really good at having a gut instinct. So what I've realized is not everybody has a good gut instinct. I think I'm hardwired to have that. And so I tap into that as much as possible, where I think if somebody, and no one really knows if they have a good gut instinct, but I guess if your gut, you're making decisions on your gut and you're continually wrong, then maybe that's not your strength, right? But for me, it's always like, I just feel it in my bones. And and it's always just been a good guiding light for me. And I've always relied on my gut way more than than data and someone giving advice. Like, it's just when I know, I know. So,
yeah. It's one of those weird things, isn't it? To go from being an esthetician working primarily on your own or with your partner, but in one business, to then running a company, and it's a whole different skill set. And it must be very strange to go from knowing, well, this is how I feel and how I behave and act in certain situations, but then you have to realize that other people don't behave and act in that situation. I think that's sometimes mm-hmm. a big realization for humans. That like, oh, what, for not sure. everyone feels this way? Yeah. Like, I thought we all worked the same way, and it turns out not so much.
Yeah. Certainly running a company, I always just say, if I could clone myself, you know, like over yeah. and over yeah. and have a bunch of mini-me's, everything would be great. And because you kind of expect that people should think like you, act like you, do like you. And but I've certainly realized that, one, that's impossible, that, you know, you can clone yourself that way. But secondly, what I really discovered is that you really do need your opposites, right? And yeah. because those people bring something to the table that you don't have. So my strengths are going to be weaknesses for someone who's opposite, but vice versa, you yeah. know, their strengths are my weaknesses. And so my COO, for example, you know, he's just my work husband, my right hand and everything. And we're polar opposites, but it makes such a great, you know, team because, you know, he's my soft place to fall when I'm not good at something and vice versa. So it works out well.
Yeah. It's nice to balance each other out, which takes us back to skincare. So just looking at the industry, you've got so much experience. You've been so hands-on for so long. What are the key things that have changed for you, especially, I guess, in the last 10 years when there's just been a real catalyst for skincare blowing up? What are the big things that you have seen change?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, access to more education, right? Like people who are skincare enthusiasts, like there's no shortage of education out there and everyone's pushing out content. And so there's so much of an opportunity to learn. You know, when I started out, you know, you learn in school, then there's a couple books that might be out there. But you know, there just wasn't an opportunity to learn like there is now. And I think it's great. I think the downside of it is that you have a lot of conflicting opinions. And so it can actually be really hard for a skincare enthusiast, you know, whether they're an esthetician or somebody who's just loves skincare, to kind of sort through what's right and what's wrong, or, you know, but nothing's black and white. And that's the hard thing. I mean, you can go to a mm-hmm. doctor and, you know, for, you know, a pain in your arm or something, and you could go and get three different opinions. And so, you know, sometimes there's not ever like, yeah, it's just not black and white a lot. Yeah. So that makes it challenging. But yeah, I think it makes it challenging for people just to sort through what's going to be right for them, because they're getting advice, but skin is unique and that advice may not work for them, but it could work for someone else. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just the access to great information. And I'm doing my part. I've had a skincare blog since 2009. And so I've been a trusted source for people to educate themselves about how to best care for their skin. But yeah, just continuing education. There's just great opportunities for people to learn.
There's so much, I hate to say it, we talk about this a lot on the podcast, but there's so much fear mongering in skincare right now, and so much language of trying to not maybe scare people, but make people wary of things without ever really explaining what we're telling, you know. There's a lot of like, this isn't mm-hmm. in our product. I'm like, is it in any product? And the answer is no. And obviously this a lot often gets grouped under clean beauty, she says in inverted commas, which kind of lets you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Where is the Rene Rouleau brand on the clean beauty, she says again in inverted commas, spectrum? Because I know people will ask, and I constant.
Yeah. So I have a whole blog post on my thoughts about it. And I think, so people, you know, it kind of is a big marketing push, because so in the world of product development, there's basically the cosmetic chemist, and then there's the marketing team. And, you know, the cosmetic chemist and who's formulating the product is the one that is going, you know, is bringing the science to it. But then the marketing is all about selling it. And fear is a great motivator for people. And, and so it's clickbaity, you know, it, it brings eyeballs when you scare people. And by nature, people are fearful. And certainly like in the pandemic, I mean, it's just kind of exacerbated fear for people, emotionally. And so, but so you kind of can't rely on the marketing department to really be selling it, because at the end of the day, science wins, right? Marketing is fluff, and it's tainted, and it's not always accurate. And, but again, like, it's kind of, I mean, I hate to think of it like this way, but it's like a used car salesman, right? He'll tell you whatever you need to hear to sell you the car, right? Oh yeah, this car's great, a great engine in here. And people tell you whatever you need to hear to get a sale. And that's what marketing is. And, but so behind the scenes, the science doesn't lie. And so I really think, you know, and I have access to all these cosmetic chemists I work with for years. And if you, people need to rely more on the science than the marketing. And so that's why I love that, like, now cosmetic chemists are coming out from behind the scenes, because they've always been buried, right? Nobody had access to hear a cosmetic chemist, you know, opinion. You know, they're kind of in the lab doing their thing, and it's the marketing department that has the voice. And so now on social media, you'll see a lot of cosmetic chemists who are now having a voice and using social media to really tell the truth. And I think anybody who falls into a lot of, you know, the fear and, oh, that ingredient is bad, if you talk to a a cosmetic chemist, they're going to school you real quick, because they're going to be able to pull up study after study after study, and you're going to kind of go, oh, and you kind of don't have a leg to stand on. And so, so the whole thing of like an ingredient is bad, you know, I think is just, you know, not, not good, because it really, you know, anything can be bad for you if used in certain percentages or, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's no skincare company is putting out products that are going to be unsafe. I mean, why would anyone do that? You know? So, I mean, I stand behind my products because I formulate them for products that I would use, right? Why would I want to, you know, why would I want to do something bad for someone? So, so I have a whole blog post that I wrote about, you know, kind of my thoughts on clean beauty, but ultimately I just think that the science wins. I think there is a lot of, you know, studies that are being done. And so ingredients that we thought were bad, you know, good a long time ago, hey, actually the science is showing that they're not so great. And that's the great thing about evolution. But I just think that, you know, people really need to look at the studies behind it and come to better conclusions, and not just fall into some soundbite from somebody that's just marketing to you.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary indictment on society in general right now, like reflected in the skincare industry.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to believe the marketing, which is shiny and loud, instead of the actual scientific facts. Make of that what you will, listeners. So going back to your brand in particular, do you have a favorite product? Is there anything in there that is your real hero, that has just been your ride or die product for life?
Yeah. So it's, I'll try to make it the shortest story possible. I'll make it real quick, but my number one best-selling product is a product that I literally don't even know how it works, but it's a miracle. and the story behind it is, the first salon that I used to work at before I opened the first one with my business partner up in Boston, they sold a skincare line. It was a French skincare line, and they had this one product that was for acne. And basically they, you know, it was for blemishes and you put it all over your face, whatever. And I sold it to clients, and sometimes it worked, but a lot of times it didn't. But where I was hearing feedback was that it was helping their cysts, you know, the hard sore knots under the skin. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, it didn't help for my regular blemishes, but I actually dabbed it on my cyst and it made it go away so much faster. Well, to this day, and certainly back then, cystic breakouts, the only thing you could do is go on, Accutane, or I guess in the UK you call it Roaccutane or whatever, or get a cortisone injection. But topically, mm-hmm. there was no product that could help with cystic breakouts. And so I was hearing that feedback. Then when I left the salon and me and my business partner went to open up our own place, we brought in that skincare line and I continued to sell it. But now I was selling it for cystic breakouts because people were saying, wow, this stuff is really a miracle. So if somebody had a cyst, I would say, here, buy this product. And then fast forward, when I started Rene Rouleau, I started developing my own product line, but I sold just that one product from that company. And again, you know, I was just always getting feedback. People are like, oh my gosh, this is a miracle for my cystic blemishes. And then the company decided to discontinue the product. And I was devastated because I was like, we sell so much of it. So I bought the formula from them and named it anti-cyst treatment. And a couple of years ago, we changed it to anti-bump solution. And basically bought it from them. Then the company had a fire and they lost all the research that had been done about that product many, 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 many years ago when they first developed it. So long story short, I never really questioned why it worked because it just worked. But then when I was like, oh, hey, by the way, does anyone know how this works? Like, it has these ingredients in it, but these ingredients aren't really things that should help cystic breakouts because really, in theory, nothing should help cystic breakouts. So they went back and determined that all the original studies about the product and why it was created and how it was created got burned in the fire. And so I've showed this product to tons of different cosmetic chemists. And including the one that, you know, makes it for me. And no one really knows why. They're like, it doesn't make sense why lactic acid, which is kind of one of the main ingredients in it, would help with it because that's not what lactic acid does. But it just works. So basically, my number one best-selling product is specifically for those hard, sore knots under the skin called and the product's called Anti-Bump Solution, as I mentioned. And I don't know how it works, but it just does. And it's our number one best-selling product out of 50 products. And it's a miracle worker. And yeah, so that's kind of the hero product in my line.
Sometimes we just don't need to ask questions. Exactly. We just need to let it happen.
Sometimes I'll see on social media, people will go, oh, I found a dupe for Rene Rouleau anti-bump solution. It's a lactic acid serum. And I'm like, you just try to use a regular lactic, because I have lactic acid in some of my other products, but I'm like, mm-hmm. nope, I can guarantee you nothing you'll ever find is going to work like this.
Oh, I have used plenty of lactic acid serums and they have never helped with cystic acne. Which actually leads me on to the next question. We've been getting so many questions from listeners who are suffering with, I hate the term, but with maskne, acne around the, I bet you've heard this 1,000 times in the last 3 months.
Yes.
But it's been a real thing. And at first, when people started messaging us, we were very, at our parts, we were like, just wash your face and keep your mask clean and don't be gross and it will be fine. And then I started getting like really gross cystic bumps under the skin around and where my mask was and every time I wore my mask. So now I have a lot more sympathy and I owe people apologies. But is there anything that you feel like people should be doing, could be doing either to prevent or to treat when it happens?
Yeah. So we have a lot of products for kind of acne, but particularly adult acne, which a lot of lines don't really cover. And so, you know, we've been thriving throughout COVID because people are searching for acne products that are appropriate for adults. And that, you know, that doesn't dry out the skin and helps with maskne. So, the main thing that you want to do with maskne is create an environment in the skin where less bacteria will thrive, and easier said than done. But we have a collection of 4 products in a kit. It's called the Rapid Response Detox Kit, and it has 4 products, and they're small sizes, so they're great. You know, if you don't want to switch to them full time because you don't need to because you're not breaking out, you know, all the time or whatever. But one of the key products in there that works really well that people can use kind of during the day is called Rapid Response Detox Toner. And what people can do is throughout the day, I never like to have people mess with their skincare routine during the day because you don't want to disrupt your sunscreen. So for example, like some people are like, oh, I take a spray mist and mist my skin throughout the day. Well, I would never recommend that, certainly for any area of the face, you know, regardless of wearing a mask or whatever, but that's going to dilute a sunscreen, and the sunscreen is the most important you want to use during the day. But in the case of wiping over the skin, if you have sunscreen on, you're, you know, taking it off, but you have a mask on and that acts as sun protection. So what you can do is just lift up your mask, use this non-drying alcohol-free antibacterial toner, and, you know, maybe 2 or 3 times every 3-4 hours or something, just wipe over your areas that you're prone to getting breakouts. And that can really help prevent breakouts from coming. And then when you do get breakouts, you just have to spot treat it accordingly. But here's the thing. Not all skin is equal, which is why I have the 9 skin types. Not all breakouts are equal too. And the main difference is, you know, cystic breakouts are typically ones that come up to a bump, but your body reabsorbs that infection and it goes back down under. They're not meant to come out. Where other blemishes actually do come to the surface into a whitehead. And so your spot treatments need to be targeted for the exact type of breakout. So trying to dry out a cyst with a drying spot treatment that just dries out the surface but leaves a bump underneath isn't going to get you anywhere. So I do have, not to sit here and just plug my products, but I suggest people look at my Zit Care kit, which has 4 different spot treatments for each type of blemish, but also through the life cycle of a blemish, because what a blemish needs the minute it comes up from what it needs to when it's left with a scar, 2 different needs. And so that's pretty unique as well.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's something you don't really hear about. You just hear like, don't pick your face or use right. X, but you don't hear, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Why would you dry out the skin on top of the cyst? It's going to make the cyst more noticeable, and you're going to have a dried out patch of skin
right.
that's going to be less than desirable. So that makes perfect sense. Thank you. I do have one question, that which is entirely just for me because I'm selfish and it's my podcast and I can. What do you use to pink up your hair? What is your pink hair preference?
Yes. So time is everything, right? We all want fast, easy, and, you know, get time back in our life. So I do not go and sit in a hair salon to get it done, because I'd be there all the time, because my hair's so light blonde, it would fade out all the time. So I use Overtone. And
me too. Yay. Like a baby. Like me too.
Me too. So I use pastel pink because I just really want more of a whisper of a pink. I don't want it mm-hmm. like super bright. So I take, I use a purple shampoo. I forgot who makes it, but just to kind of like make my hair not be as warm. And then I'll take a bowl before I get in the shower and I'll add in the pastel pink. Because they have 3 ranges, but I use the pastel, and then I'll mix it in a bowl with regular hair conditioner, because even the pastel overtone is a little too bright for me. So I'll mm-hmm. cut it, and then I'll just section my hair out after I shampoo, and I'll put in the pink and wash it out. And so every time I shampoo, I reapply the overtone, so my hair stays consistently pink, and it doesn't fade and that sort of thing.
Yeah, whenever I have pink haired guests or we have pink haired listeners, I always ask, and time and time again, the thing we keep coming back to is Overtone. And yeah. I just haven't found anything else that's been as good.
Yeah, I've tried a lot of things, but that's definitely my favorite. And I'm actually friends with both of the founders, which makes it even more fun.
Oh, that's very exciting. Yeah, we love an indie brand. We love yes. one that works. So that's nice. So what is next for you and for the brand? What's on the horizon? What do you see coming up?
So continuing product formulation is something I'm always working on. Some products I'm working on right now are about barrier repair. So really, there's just so much more research on how the skin can be compromised if you strip the skin too much, especially people trying to fight acne, which is why I have a lot of non-drying acne products, which is kind of revolutionary. But the challenge with fixing repairing a skin's barrier, because you know, a lot of people are using retinoid and, you know, prescription retinoids. And even if you're using those as recommended, the nature of them is that they will put little invisible cracks in your skin's barrier and allow the skin to, you know, escape moisture and get dry and that sort of thing. So, you know, retinoids, which are amazing and so many people should be using them, you know, trying to manage the side effects of what happens. And so, but the challenge is for people that are prone to clogged pores, prone to breakouts, is how do you fix a barrier? Because the ingredients that typically are used to fix a barrier, they are oil-rich, lipid-rich ingredients. And that is not always ideal for someone prone to breakouts. So that's what one of the hurdles I'm working on right now is trying to find something that can address that need, but without causing problems. I continue to have be pushing out blog content with on my blog, and you know, skin education is super important to me. I went into this business to help serve others and help others, and I never wanted to be that person that's just like, oh, buy my product, this will solve all the problems. Sometimes it's that little simple skin tip that's free and doesn't cost you anything that could be a game changer. Case in point, you know, as much as I, you know, love selling my anti-bump solution for cystic breakouts, well, guess what? Dairy may be a problem, you know? So, you know, breakouts mm-hmm. on the chin and jawline area are often related to dairy. So you could cut your breakouts and never have to use my product, and that would be ideal. So, so skin education, and really, you know, being, you know, sharing a lot of the truth. And so a lot of times I feel like I'm kind of fighting internet myths out there and kind of schooling people on the real facts but just trying to come from a place of, you know, research and integrity and making sure I'm just pushing out, good content that people can continue to trust.
It's an honorable and never ending task that you have taken on for yourself, but we appreciate it. 'Cause I think we could all do with a little bit more education, and I could definitely do with some anti-bump solutions. So that will be my next task. Just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. This was like the nicest chat. I feel like I learned so much.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Yay, Renee Rouleau.
That was amazing.
She's really lovely. She's had such an interesting path, and I just found her really inspiring as a businesswoman. That, like, I was trying to keep talking to her about skincare and stuff because that's literally the point of this podcast. But I just really wanted to ask her about her business and all, like, the conversations about. I got really invested, as you could tell, by the idea of like just trusting your gut instinct and how you know how to do that and how you build a team around you that supports you rather than pulls you down. That's something that I get.
Definitely.
Like, you get dead TMI and overexcited, but like, it really scares me, the idea of having to run a team again, because I used to be a manager and I was dead bad at it, and I just did everyone's job for them because I felt bad for setting them up, for asking them to do things. And she just strikes me as someone who's really good at working out that balance. So I just thought she's great, and I do love her products. That Mint Renewal Cleanser is so good. I'm obsessed with it. It's just dead nice. It feels like I've cleaned my teeth with my face. I don't know. I'll stop. But you know what time it is? You know what time it is? It's time.
I wasn't sure where we were going then, so I was like,
I know. We'll do it now. One, two, three.
Highlight of the week. Oh, we're out of practice, aren't we?
I know. I blame Zoom for that.
Yeah.
What you got?
So if you've been following me on Instagram, you will have seen me use this a lot. I think I've had this for about, I want to say, a month and a half now, and I've brought more because I'm terrified that this is a limited edition. They're going to stop making it, and I think it's something I want in my bag forever. It's from Avon. It's an Avon product.
What do you know?
I mean, that was like a dramatic pause there. Not that it's like bad that it's Avon, but I was kind of shooketh. This is their FMG Colors of Love Sunkissed Cushion Bronzer, and it's in the shade Morning Sunflower. So it does come in a deeper shade as well. Mm-hmm. And the reason I love it, first of all, it's huge.
It is huge. Look at that bad boy.
Oh, it's just everything I want in. It's not a cream. It's not a liquid. It feels so lightweight. It's like a souffle on your face. It's just lovely. Like, you can see your freckles through it. The color is like the most perfect terracotta-y bronze. And the other reason I love it is I've been using it loads on my eyes. I love it. It's like a one-stop monochrome. I do my cheeks with it. I do my eyes, bit of mascara. Job's a good one. Zoom ready.
Out the door.
Zoom
out
ready.
The door.
Oh, yeah, not out of the door because I'm not going anywhere.
No one's out of the door. In the door.
And like we said, you know, I'm trying to use up what I've got, but I think I'm already close to finishing the end of this.
It's like as big as your face.
It's huge.
It's so big.
And
it's half a face.
I've brought more of these in case they stop doing it. Now, don't hate me, people in England, because I don't know if it's available in England. I have a horrible feeling this is just available.
Oh, don't say that, because I'm doing one that's also not available.
I know, sauces! But it is...
England, we're really helping you shop your stash with our highlights.
We're keeping you on track, yeah. But this, it's fantastic. It's so good. It feels like a really incredible high-end product, and it's something that I kind of don't want it to be limited edition, because I feel like I'm going to need that forever.
I've got an Avon related story that is only tangentially related to the pod, but I don't think I've shared it with you. So I tweeted a few weeks ago about ASM artists that I listen to because I love me some ASMR. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted a list of ASMR people that I've been listening to that I loved. And one of them is called Peace and Soriety. And she replied to my tweet saying, "Oh, what a small world. I know you because I follow Harry Makes It Up and I saw her do your bridal makeup on her YouTube channel because she is a makeup artist as well as an ASM artist." So I was like, what a small world. And she often does Avon role plays on her ASMR channel, but she does like decades. So she'll be like a 1960s Avon lady or a 1950s Avon lady and 70s. And she's done 80s as well. And she's like all of the vintage Avon stuff. It's so cool. And her makeup is always incredible. Her character makeup.
I want to watch that. Okay, I have to
watch
that.
Yeah, I'm
going to
send you the link. Yes. But I was like, oh, it's a small world. I love you. I had a fangirl moment on the internet. That was nice.
So what's yours then? I feel like we're both going to have ones that are only available.
I know, I feel bad.
Brilliant journalism here.
I don't want to feel bad. Well, I did some active journalisming for this because I got sent these by Urban Decay and I loved them and I emailed them and I was like, could you let me know the release dates for Canada and the UK? And right before we started recording, they were like, they're not coming out in Canada and the UK. And I was like, well, for fuck's sake. So I didn't really know what to do, but I'd already chosen it as my highlight. UK and Canada, like, there's loads of good stuff. Treat yourself. But it's these Urban Decay Decades palettes. They are new, palettes. They're out on urbandecay.com and at Ulta, and they're decades. So this is Boogie, which is the 70s palette.
Huge.
As you can see, it is like insanely beautiful, and I have fallen in love with it. They're all nice. There's four. I should have them with me, but I don't because got to keep it unprofessional. But this is the one that's my highlight, so it doesn't matter. But it's really, really beautiful. It's six shades. There's Disco Diva, Outlandish, I Like It, Glitter Scene, Club Hop, and Turn Up the Beat. And like, I just can't express to you how beautiful they are. The champagne-y shimmery one actually comes out really cool. It looks quite warm in the pan, but it comes out really cool and just makes this very funky, glittery, shimmery eye. The reddish brown is the same sort of formula where it's very shimmery and glittery. There is then the matte brown, warm brown to do some lid nonsense if you feel so inclined. And then
or if
Club
you're
Hop
me, you'd wear that one.
Yeah, well, you would be all over like I Like It and Club Hop, the brands. But then Turn Up the Beat is this absolutely beautiful blackened green that feels very Urban Decay. It feels like this whole thing, that's why I love this collection, why I love this palette. It feels very Urban Decay.
Yeah.
And I didn't have these when I talked to Wendy, so I didn't get to fangirl about them, but it just like feels like a real return to form. I feel like between these and the Stoned Vibes palette, I'm not going to get into like stuff we've loved because like that's a whole other episode. But it's been a real return to form. And the Glitter Scene shadow, which is the glitter, which is what inspired my nails, actually, hilariously. It's like the same as the nails.
Yeah, it really is like matchy matchy. Love it.
Yeah. It's like there's not a lot of base color to it. It looks silver and it's just very finely milled rainbow glitter.
Yeah.
And like it would go better with a glitter glue under it or a cream shadow. I just put it on top with my finger and like by the end of the day, I had it all over my face. But in the way that just made me the happiest. But it's such a beautiful, finely milled rainbow glitter that it catches the light in such a gorgeous party way. I just think it's such a banging palette. I'm so upset they're not making it available globally. But maybe they will. Maybe if we love it, they will. And maybe you could get like a makeup mule to order it and send it to you.
Or there could be some kind of nice alternative that Urban Decay are doing just for the UK market or something. So you guys might get something special
that
we can't get.
exactly. But if you are in the UK, in the US, sorry, check them out. I think they're $22 each. But if you buy more than one, if you buy two or more on their website, you get like 15% off.
Ooh.
But they're really nice. And yeah, they're on Ulta as well if you're after your Ulta points. But we love it. And it's just dead dinky and nice. Dinky,
yeah, that's nice. Really pretty for party season.
Packaging's lovely. Yeah. Packaging's lovely. The whole thing, delightful.
Delightful.
Hey, that was a nice chat.
That was lovely to catch up and talk all things beauty. Yeah.
Pad the pod dog. It was just like old times. He's sleeping.
Yeah. It's getting dark already. It's crazy. Nights are drawing in.
Nights are drawing in. Going to have to eat
in quality
all the
streets
minute.
Are calling.
God, I know. I'm like, we've literally just sat before we start recording saying, like, try not to drink. And immediately was like, I could go for a glass of wine.
I know. I'm literally like, oh, I want to make some mulled wine.
Oh, somebody, I was doing a live earlier and said mispronounced LMS Pro Collagen as LMS Pro Collagen. And somebody immediately was like, oh my God, they should make LMS Pro Collagen. And they're like, would drink it. So just if you're listening, LMS.
On the rocks.
That's from us to you. That's free. That's for you.
You can have that.
But yeah, thank you for joining us today. You know, you can join us on Instagram and on Facebook, a Facebook group. The Secret Santa is all... It's happened. It's done. You've all got your Secret Santas now, which is so exciting and lovely. The Advent Challenge is a happening. I know Difficult Eyes has seen her tribute to Difficult Eyes.
I did. I felt well special. I felt like royalty.
Weren't it dead lovely?
It was lovely.
So for everyone that's taking part in that, that's lovely. Thank you so much. The Patreon, if you feel so inclined to support us, that exists. So go crazy. Or you could just leave us 5-star on Apple Podcasts. We love that.
We'll take that. We like
it's Christmas.
Stars.
Christmas. It's a time for stars. It's a time for stars. But we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode.
We will. I know. Imagine. Yeah, look at us being all regular.
It's important to be regular. It's
important to be regular. Very much so.
Oh, dear. On that note.
We'll leave you.
We'll leave you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
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 Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.